Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we celebrate that somehow in the midst of all of our chaos in our life, that you are moving all things to the praise of your glory. We ask, God, that you would renew our trust in you today. Father, some of us have come here today, perhaps maybe a little shaken in our trust of who you are, shaken in our faith. We pray that today, God, you would steady our feet and remind us that you are a rock. You are a rock of salvation. And when we stand upon you, we shall not be moved. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just to start off today, I want to share a bit about a little discussion Rhea and I had about this Christmas tree in front of our apartment, which, you know, we came across it, and, you know, it's very beautiful, very impressive. I didn't know what it was, though. I always walked by it, and I didn't like it for some reason. And is it because I'm a Grinch, Pastor Grinch? Maybe that's me. I don't know. Why is it that when I go into malls at this time of year, I really don't like it? I'd prefer not to be in malls. There's something that just really frustrates me, I guess, and I began to think about it. And I guess it's because it's something about the Christmas season, in my mind, I don't know if you feel this way, it's just very clean. It's very, like, everything's very organized. Everything's very white and very put together. And maybe some folks out here is like, that's wonderful. I wish my house was more put together, you know. But I guess when I see it and I think about Christmas, I'm thinking, you know, what I know about Christmas, that doesn't seem to be accurate. And I guess when I see these kind of very, like, clean, sterile things, something in me says that's not right. Because when I'm thinking of Christmas, I'm thinking of people talking to me about, you know, they've got a host. And, you know, we have amazing hosts in this church. You have a real gift. I think God is really using your gifts. But, you know, when I think of hosting, it's panic time. It's like, oh, is the house clean? Does it smell weird? Who's hosting? Who's coming? You know, and, you know, all of these things you have to prepare for. And then it's a time of gifts. It's a time of, like, shopping, who to give to. If you don't give to this person, are they going to get upset at you and all of this stuff like that? You know, do we have the money for that? And then on top of that, you're thinking about family. And, you know, in church, we all have to say we love our in-laws, but, you know, sometimes you learn a new level of grace, right, through in-laws, right? The whole in-law thing, and then there's family conflicting. There's no drama like family drama, right? And not on top of that, then I talk with, like, some maybe younger adult folks. There's no drama like relationship drama, especially around the season. I don't know what it is. Something about those times where everyone's supposed to be really loving, there's an extra pressure. My friend was telling me that, you know, some of the worst, he was a waiter for a while, and he said the worst arguments I see in restaurants usually happen around major holidays, you know, where there's supposed to be seasons of love like Valentine's Day and Christmas. And he says, you know, don't take your date out to the restaurant usually on those days. For some reason, there's lots of fighting. You know, it's just a time of chaos. I mean, you don't have to be a genius just to go into the malls, you know, season of Christmas, and then you just road rage like no other. Something about parking spots at Christmas is just like, you know, it just incites fighting. Like, you took my spot. I've been waiting here for an hour. Blah, blah, blah. You can see where I'm going with this. It's a time of chaos in my mind with Christmas. And a lot of people don't like talking about it, but let's be honest, it's out there. And to get a little more serious, I sometimes have a problem with having Christmas as such a beautiful Hallmark experience, because the fact is, when you put all these high expectations of what Christmas is, when you're not having that experience of what it looks like in the Hallmark card, it's very painful. You know, increasingly, many people come to church, and church at Christmas time just seems to be so happy and clean and friendly. What happens if Christmas is a time of difficulty for you? You know, you feel like there's no space for you. In fact, what's happened in many churches is that they felt this pressure to start something called a Blue Christmas service. I don't know if you've heard about this, but many churches have an alternative Christmas service that is actually geared for those when Christmas is actually painful for you. Perhaps this Christmas is the first Christmas you're without a loved one. You know how offensive it would be to come in and say, everyone's like, Merry Christmas. You know, this is a time of love and joy. And, you know, when you think of Christmas, this is a time of loss and grieving and difficulty. Perhaps it was in this Christmas season that you went through a major challenge. And when you hear about everything, you know, being so happy, you know, little baby Jesus, he had a hard time, but he found the manger. You know, it's just, it doesn't seem to speak to you. And as a result, I think pastors and churches are realizing, like, you know, maybe our Christmas message has been kind of one-sided. And so some services have started. And, you know, it's interesting, as I began to think about this more, I began to think about, well, what is the Bible, how does the Bible paint the whole Christmas situation, the time of Christ's birth? What was it like? And what I'm discovering in my, just my honest, like, look at Scripture without trying to come in with preconceived notions, it's actually a time of a lot of chaos. It's a time of a lot of trials, and it's a time of a lot of pain. But what is so special about Christ's birth is not that everything comes together, but it is that God's good news comes in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our pain and our trials. The good news is that in the midst of all of that stuff that's going on, Christ is born. And it reminds us that God has a greater plan for us, a plan for good in the midst of our chaos. And which brings me to our scripture reading today in Ephesians. You know, what I love about Ephesians chapter 1 is that it is a wonderful example. You know, when we get so, I don't know if you're like me sometimes, when I get in difficult times, I get like my tunnel vision just really shrinks. And then I can't really see the big picture anymore. I began to think about just like trying to survive, just trying to get to the next day. And then in the midst of that, I have such a small vision, and then I can't even think about what's next. What's it all about? And Ephesians chapter 1 is a wonderful chapter for me to remind myself, what is it all about? And Paul writes this to describe what is God doing basically through history. That's kind of how I see Ephesians chapter 1. What is the big picture? And we see in Ephesians chapter 1 is that God has a plan in the past, in the present, and in the future. And that's what I want to talk about today and how that relates to the Christmas message. And the first thing I discover in Ephesians chapter 1 is that God has a plan in motion since the beginning of time. So I don't know, maybe you're in a situation or a season in your life right now, you're struggling and you're wondering, what is God doing? Maybe you feel like, and there's a biblical analogies to this. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're just one of those people in the wilderness, right alongside God's people, and you're wandering. And you're thinking, 40 days. I mean, when is this going to end? 40 years. You know, the people have been wandering endlessly, and the thing is, they saw the presence of God. They saw that, you know, the pillar of cloud by day, and then the pillar of fire by night. They knew God was leading them somewhere, but sometimes, you know, you're feeling like, are we just going in circles? And if you look actually at a map, which I find very funny, if you look at the map of the people journeying in the wilderness, it's a very roundabout. It's like circles everywhere. And I imagine somewhere in the process of that wilderness experience, they're wondering, does God have a plan in this? And Ephesians reminds us that before time began, you know, God has a plan. And it's at that moment, maybe the people of Israel, you know, before Christ was born, they were in that time too. They were like, we haven't heard a prophet in centuries. We haven't heard from God in ages. Does God have a plan? Does he know what's going on? Maybe right now you're going through something. You're thinking like, does God know what's going on? Like, I mean, my past seems to be just endless wandering. But the good news is before you even started, God has a plan. And that is why it was such good news when they heard about this guy speaking in the wilderness, John the Baptist, because that fulfilled the prophecy many, many years ago about one crying out in the wilderness, prepare a way. And so when you're wandering and you're feeling kind of lost, the good news is that God has sent someone in the midst of your wandering, say, prepare the way. Jesus Christ is coming. Which leads us to the next thing, is that God had the plan in the past, and God has a plan for the present. And God's grace is sufficient for the turmoil that we have in our present. You know what I love about the gospel is that it's not just something for the past. It's not a sentimental thing. It's not like wishful thinking for the future, but it's something that really applies to our present as well. You know, in our current struggles right now, you might be in the exact place where you're thinking everything is going wrong. And you feel like it's all just falling apart. And you know who can relate with you? People who are living in the time right when Jesus was about to be born. Think about Mary. I mean, this kind of blows my mind. I have to keep reminding myself of this. You know, Mary was probably a teenager at this time, very young. And then she gets this visit from on high saying, you're going to be pregnant and you're going to have a baby. And, okay, well, have fun trying to explain that to your neighborhood, you know. I'm having a baby, but it's not, you know, let me explain. It's from God. Yeah. You know, if I was a dad, I'd have a bit of a hard time understanding the story, you know. I would be very panicked. She'd be a scandal of the crowd. You know, Joseph was thinking of a way to honorably kind of keep it quiet. You know, he was a very righteous man because, you know, that's something that's very scandalous. You know, can you imagine how her life is kind of falling apart with this news? Can you imagine what it's like to actually have the baby and you're going to have the baby and you get into town and there's nowhere to have the baby? So what are your options? I guess over there where the animals are feeding. You know, and this is exactly where the Christmas story takes place. In a place, in a time where things are not going your way. Things are falling apart. Your life is threatened. Your reputation is threatened. You know, there's no room for the baby to be born but in a manger. You know, just things are not happening the way you want it to. The backdrop of the Christmas story is that there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of things happening out of control. Is this the time, like, of Israel's shining glory that Jesus comes? No, this is a time that's very embarrassing. It's in Bethlehem, the little city, you know. It's not the great city of David. It's like this embarrassing little city of Bethlehem. It's not how, you know, people would like to write the story. You know, in your life, maybe this Christmas, you're going through something right now, and you're like, I didn't want it to be written like this. And you're kind of embarrassed about it. This wasn't Israel's time of triumph. This was an embarrassing time for Israel because they were scattered. They were a minority. They had been trampled by, like, you know, previous governments, previous kingdoms. They still hadn't recovered from the exile from centuries ago. This is Christmas. This is very messy. It's just kind of like, this isn't how I wanted to bring in the King of Kings. Maybe you're going through a time right now you wanted it to work out all together better. But the good news is this, is that this is exactly those very unflattering, those unpleasant times, those embarrassing times that God loves to appear. It is in those moments where God looks at that manger and that dirty kind of place where his you know, his son, who is the holiest son of all, the King of Kings, is going to be born. He looks at that manger and says, yes, I love this. I'm going to make this beautiful. I'm going to transform this manger into a holy kind of birth room for the king. I'm going to bring in people from afar, you know, wise men from afar, and they're going to bring gifts. And when he gets born, there's going to be a star above this manger. This is going to be the best manger in the world. I'm going to have angels singing over it. And we get so caught up in all those beautiful things, we've forgotten that this was actually a really ugly place. And God doesn't look at our unpleasant circumstances. He doesn't look at our unpleasant circumstances and despise them. He sees them as stages for God's miracles to take place. You know, I don't know right now if you're facing unpleasant circumstances or difficult times. I'm just thinking of the Moy family right now, I guess, as I'm preaching this. You know, as Christmas is approaching, can you imagine, you know, what's on their hearts and their minds? But it's in these opportunities that God's grace can shine through. God has a plan even in our uncomfortable present. God has a plan from the beginning. He has a plan in the present. And the good news is that he also has a plan for us in our future. God secures our hope for him in the future. See, Christmas isn't just about taking care, God taking care of our present, and then the future is left to us. The powerful thing about the Christmas story is that it is also a sign for the future. It's a sign that God has sent his son, and this very son is going to be the one who's going to send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I was kind of talking about yesterday in our discipleship group, is so important for us as Christians to know that God's, because it is he is the comforter. He is the one who's going to sustain us. God has our future secure. And Ephesians says this, you know, all things are going to be brought together in the proper time under Christ. You know, it seems like the whole world's falling apart. And yes, we do have our individual actions, but somehow God's sovereignty is just blanketing over all of us, bringing us all together under Christ, as Ephesians says. You know, sometimes some folks don't like to read Ephesians 1 because it uses that kind of really scary word called predestination and all that stuff. And I'm not going to get into it today. But a lot of us fear that word because we think of it as kind of like oppressive clamp over our ability to choose. You know, God being like this killjoy, we can't choose anything. But, you know, I think the word's been really badly used. I think you need to kind of step back a bit. Some of the first people who really kind of talked about predestination was someone like Augustine. And you know what was going on in Augustine's time was this, is that, and this is very hard to imagine. Imagine the center of all that is civilized, all that is like organized and culture and such is falling apart. And basically that's exactly what was happening. The Romans had the Vandals had just ransacked Rome. Rome had fallen. Okay, now, it's hard for us to picture because we're in a global world, but it's basically, it looked like the end of the world, literally, to them. And not only that, you see, Augustine is in North Africa, and the news is, hey, guess what? Those Vandals, they're on their way south to us. So the end of the world has just happened, and now it's going to come to us. And it's at that moment where Augustine talks about what is predestination, is that God has secured our future. We don't have to be people who are afraid of the future. A lot of what Christmas is about is like saying, you know what, God is your present plan, but you know what, I know there's a lot of fears about the future. What's going to happen to baby Jesus after this beginning? What's going to happen to things, you know, that are going to come next? And we get worried. We think, is the alarm going to go off right now? I don't know. But I have faith that everything's going to work out just fine, right? Okay. And then we worry. But the good news is this, is that God has put a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing our redemption, the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The good news about Christmas is that this Christmas thing wasn't just like a one-time thing. There's a future hope to come. You know, when the angels appeared when Jesus Christ was born, it was a sign of the worship that is to come in the future. And, you know, I just really appreciate that song that we sang at the end today about the endless hallelujah. It gave us a vision, you know, of those angels singing the endless hallelujah, to know that God is good and he's going to get the final word. And Christmas is a reminder is that the final word is not going to be death. It's not going to be about a baby who can't find, any room to be born. The final word is that angels will be singing and that things will work out for good. The good news of Christmas is that God comes and he reveals his sovereign plan right on time, always. Now, the thing is, when God is right on time, we look at God and we get impatient with him because his timing doesn't seem to match what I think his timing should be. Sometimes we look at our life right now and we wish like redemption could happen now. We wish it could all be resolved now. You know, I had a very heartfelt conversation with someone this week who just grew up in a life of a lot of difficulty for decades, just constantly just facing trials and tribulations. And, you know, he just kind of came to me very fragile and just saying, like, I don't know, like, what is God doing? And he's just very frustrated. And, you know, I just wanted to encourage him, to remind him, you know, I don't know. I don't understand how God works in his timing all the time. I would love to know myself. But the good thing that I know, that I see in Scripture, that I even see in my life, is that God is working out a plan somehow. Even in the midst of all my discouragements and stuff, I see little windows of heaven, I call it, to remind me that there's something bigger going on. And it gives me strength to run the race. You know, and I feel like the Christmas story is like this window of heaven for us to remind us that in the midst of all of this suffering, of all of this pain, God is telling me that he has a plan. The real story of Christmas is not that God kind of cleans everything up and makes it all tidy and beautiful and clean and sterile. It's that in the midst of all of our mess, God is revealing that he has a plan and he's not shaken and he's moving forward. He's got your past covered. He's got your present covered. He's got your future covered. Maybe some of you today have come to church not really expecting much, but maybe God is speaking to you today, right now in your life, saying, what you're going through, God has a plan. I know it doesn't look like it right now, but think of Christmas. It didn't look like that for them, but God's coming through. God is coming through. Amen. Let's pray.